This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. We had an incredible game number four of the Stanley Cup Final going to overtime for the third time in this series. After the Florida Panthers took a 3-0 lead in the first period, the Edmonton Oilers came all the way back, tied it at 3 in the second period, took a 4-3 lead in the third, only to watch the Panthers score with the extra attacker on the ice with 19 seconds remaining in the third period. We skated into overtime once again for the third time in the first four games of this series, and Leon Draisaitl, for the second time in this Stanley Cup Final, and for an NHL record fourth time here in these playoffs, gets the game-winning goal for the Edmonton Oilers. Oilers win 5-4, and now the series is even at a game apiece. The Edmonton Oilers became the first team in Stanley Cup Final history to win a game after trailing 3-0 the first period. Teams were 37-0, leading 3-0 in the first intermission. Now 37-1. Feels like we're saying a lot of these numbers when it comes to this postseason, not just in the NHL, but also in the NBA. Historic comebacks, all-time great trends and stats that are getting blown up in historic fashion. We can talk about what the Oilers have done, scoring, 30 seconds left, and then sending it to overtime, then the Panthers winning that game, the Panthers scoring here, Panthers blowing this lead. I made a joke earlier that this was the second 3-0 lead the Panthers blew to the Oilers. Ha ha ha. I'll be here all night. If you recall, when you have to explain the joke, it's not a good joke, but that was a reference to last year's Stanley Cup Final, where the Panthers had a 3-0 lead. Oilers came all the way back. But after Leon Draisaitl scores that game-winning goal, well, the Conn Smythe market has completely been flipped up on its head. Sam Bennett is the favorite right now at plus 150 odds. Leon Draisaitl is the second favorite at plus 250. Connor McDavid is the third favorite at plus 300. Again, Sam Bennett, who leads the postseason in goals scored, is the plus 150 favorite. Makes sense because Florida is a slight favorite now to win this series, even though we're tied at two games apiece. Draisaitl, though, second favorite, he's the guy you want to bet on. Edmonton returns home for game number five. They are a short minus 120 favorite in game number five. If Edmonton wins this series, Leon Draisaitl is going to win the Conn Smythe Award. His second overtime winner of this final, he now is the leading scorer in this postseason and an NHL record 4 overtime goals here in this playoff run. And he's not done scoring. He's not done yet. For prop purposes, the shots on goal props continue to be extremely profitable here in this Stanley Cup Final because we got guys that are going over every single game. Evan Bouchard for the Edmonton Oilers continues to go over his shots on goal. And at this point, I don't care what the juice is. If the book offers 2.5 shots on goal for Evan Bouchard, I'm going over. 3 shots on goal in game number 4, 9 shots on goal in game number 3, 8 in game number 2, 7 in game number 1. A perfect 4-0 to the over 2.5 shots on goal for Evan Bouchard. Connor McDavid, you're getting a little taxed on McDavid as he was listed at 3.5 for his shots on goal prop in game number 4. But guess what? He went over with 4. He went over in game number 1 with 4. He went over in game number 2 with 7. He only had 2 shots on goal in game number 3. Same thing with Leon Draisaitl, who's gone over 2.5 in the 3 of the 4 games. The only game he didn't was also in that game number 3. And that game number 3, you almost have to throw out because with the amount of penalties that the Edmonton Oilers took in that game number 3, there was so few times played at even strength that you weren't able to get your guys on the ice. You weren't able to get into the flow of the game. I mean, Florida had 11 power play opportunities in that game number 3. And I looked at the numbers. In 5 versus 5 situations, in game number one, went into overtime, 69 minutes played in 5v5. Game number two goes into overtime, 68 minutes played, 5v5. Game number three, only 33 minutes played, 5 versus 5. Half the game, literally, 5 versus 5. But something that I found interesting when I looked at that game number three from an even strength perspective is the game was played fairly evenly. And I don't think there's an argument that this has been an even series and these teams are even. Now, in the first period of game number four, Florida jumps out to a 3-0 lead. And you know what? They looked great. But also, Edmonton looked horrible. Some of the worst hockey that I've seen Edmonton play this entire postseason. But boy, did they snap out of that. They make the goaltender switch. They pull Stuart Skinner. They go to Calvin Pickard. The rest of the team rallies. And they look like a different team in the second period and the third period into the overtime. And now we are at even 2 games apiece with the series going back to Edmonton for game number 5. Oilers, as I said, a short minus 120 favorite, total of 6.5. Once again, juice to the under, but the over is hit in all 4 games of this series. And at some point, I'm thinking, hey, the unders are coming. I like the under. How could you bet an under? How could you? These teams are too good. The games are never over. It doesn't matter who's winning and how late. How could you bet an under? It's just becoming increasingly difficult. Hey, VSiN is live from the College World Series in Omaha. Now through Saturday, we're going to be broadcasting straight from Rocco's, the iconic home of the Jell-O Shot Challenge. Saw some great tweets from VSiN and from Stormy and JVT and Derek and all the Circa crew there in Omaha. And you can catch Money Moves and Follow the Money live from Omaha with the sights, sounds, and the best bets from the tournament. And you can also go to vsin.com/CWS right now for all the details. And you can get a free College World Series betting guide. That's right. Free College World Series betting guide right now on vsin.com/CWS. We're going to talk some College World Series coming up a little bit later on in the program. We'll be joined by Colby Dent from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Get his best bets picks for not just tomorrow's games, but the entirety of this World Series here in Omaha. NBA Finals game number 4 will take place here tomorrow. And when you look at this series between the Pacers and the Thunder, I have to give respect to the Pacers. They played great in game number 3. But they've only been leading for 10% of the 3 games. Think about that. The Indiana Pacers are up 2-1 in the NBA Finals, having the lead for only 10% of the time played. In game number 1, the Thunder led the entire game until 0.3 seconds remaining when Tyrese Haliburton hit the shot to give the Pacers the win. In game number 2, Thunder wire to wire. In game number 3, Thunder handled business in the first quarter like they have in every game of this series. Hold the Pacers under their team total in the first quarter like they did in all 3 games of this series. Second quarter, an incredible run by Indy. But then the Thunder went on their own run. Took a 5-point lead going into the fourth quarter only to disappear. Now, you want to say it was fatigue? Well, if it was fatigue, then that's certainly going to come into play with only a 1-day break, not a 2-day break, in between the games. But was it the fatigue or was it the clutch factor? Because Indy was the most clutch team all season. They've been the most clutch team in this postseason. And when it's 5 minutes and down to 5 minutes and it's close, you got to trust Indy more than you trust OKC right now. Is the moment getting too big for this Thunder team? This young Thunder team that hasn't been here? That almost rose to the occasion last year before getting beat by Dallas? And really, something can be said about when you don't play close games. Now, Daryl Morey, famous executive, NBA, had a famous quote, and I'm paraphrasing it, but he used to say, good teams don't play close games. They avoid them completely. And that could be said about this Oklahoma City Thunder team. Because they dominate everybody, right? Their margin of victory, historic. And when the season's all over, they're going to be considered, statistically, one of the greatest teams of all time. Whether you believe it or not, and you can say, well, it's because of the three-point shot, because of all these other aspects, they don't belong in that conversation, but statistically, that's where they are. The margin of victory, the net rating, all that stuff, incredible. But because they're blowing out these teams, they have never been in these tight situations, these clutch moments. And you can go look, they've played the fewest clutch minutes. But a team like Indy, who has thrived in the clutch minutes, what have they shown us? Not just in this series, but in this entire postseason, the ability to come through in the clutch. And so if the Thunder win the game, and this is where I am from a betting angle. If I believe the Thunder win by margin. But if the game is close, it's the Pacers. Pacers in the close games, Thunder in the blowouts. If you like the Thunder here in game number 4, I think you lay the points. Because I don't see them winning a close game. Because they haven't shown me the ability to win the close games. They've shown me the ability to blow the close games. Indy has been the clutch team. Indy has been the more mentally tough team. We'll talk more NBA Finals coming up next. Michael Fiddle from The Advantage will join me coming up here on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashin' Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we continue to talk NBA Finals, take a look at Friday night's game number 4 between the Thunder and the Pacers. Thunder 6-point favorites over Indy in the bounce-back spot after dropping game number 3. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, Michael Fiddle, the Advantage Sharp Betting Live Show host, Action Network contributor, as he joins us here on Cashin' Out. And Michael, when it comes to this series, a lot of credit has to be given to what Indy has done. What's been your biggest takeaway from what you've seen, the way both teams have played here through 3 games, Indy leading 2-1?
So I think, Scott, Indy being up 2-1, like, I think our eyes tell us the story that we want to see. So I've been backing the Thunder throughout this series, which unfortunately for me through 3 games hasn't worked out too strongly. And so you look at it, and I think you see it through the lens that you're kind of biased to see it anyway. So I'm seeing it as, oh my God, Thunder collapsed in game 1, but that should have been a Thunder win. And then I'm looking at the away spots now with them on the road in Indy being, okay, these are actually reasonable buy prices for the OKC Thunder against the spread, because they're, you know, you're getting the reduction to a 5.5 in game 3, 6 in game 4. It's like actually reasonable prices to play the Thunder if you like them, as opposed to paying the minus 12 at home. The flip side of that is this Indiana team is just straight up good, and they could hang with the Thunder and they're not scared. They play with confidence. They're incredibly well coached. They played a complete game. Stars played well. Role players played well. Bench played well. The crowd was rocking, and their coach, like I said, so well with Rick Carlisle. So you look through it and just like, wow, it's actually a much more complete team on the Indiana side. I have to shift up their power ranking a little bit. I have to include that OKC is now 0-8 against the spread on the road. And all of this stuff leads me at a place where I'm like, pretty much like everyone else, really confused with how to approach this series going into game 4 and then looking at the rest of the way through it.
You know, one of the things that I just find baffling when it comes to what we've watched so far in this series is that Mark Daigneault, the Oklahoma City Thunder coach, seems to be acquiescing, for lack of a better term, to the Indiana Pacers. He's completely changed his rotation. He's changed his lineup to play the Pacers game. And it makes no sense to me, because we know how good the Thunder are. They are historically good. Yet they insist on adjusting their rotations and playing small to run with the Pacers rather than sticking with their big lineup and playing their style of game. If I have to see another box score where Alex Caruso is a minus 15, I'm going to flip out.
I'm going to go the other way. I don't think Dagnall's been good. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. And I think in this series, where he screwed up is his, you know, quick trigger of using the challenge historically. He's been very hesitant and he's trying to save it. And he's ended up costing himself a few possessions, which, you know, historically he'll use his challenge really early just to win a possession and then save one later. He'll use it on an out of bounds call to challenge a proximate foul. We haven't really seen him be willing to do that because he lost the challenge early in game one and it came back to bite him. So games two and three, he was very hesitant. I actually think the lineup decisions are the completely correct decisions. I think going away from Isaiah Hartenstein makes total sense. If we look back to the regular season games played between these teams, there was one of them, Scott, where Hartenstein was healthy. He was recently coming back from an injury and the Pacers just relentlessly attacked him and they just worked him over and over again to the point where they switched the lineup and they started Cason Wallace coming into the second half and they had a huge comeback win. And then they just didn't play Hartenstein the rest of the game and they remarked him injured, although it never came up and he played the next game again. So they showed their hand that they were going to go away from Hartenstein even in the regular season in this matchup. And then when we look towards how it played in the playoffs, I mean, everyone's harping on the decision to go away and change the starting lineup going into game one. They were started game one on a 7-0 run. They were up 9 after the first quarter. They were up 12 at halftime. They forced 18 turnovers. They were up 15 in the fourth quarter, and then they collapsed. So I actually don't think it's really that lineup charged. I've agreed with going smaller because you're actually playing into more perimeter intensity. What I would change is how high they're picking up. Like they're you know, switching on the screens at the half court line, just like go underneath the screen, pick up that guy, you know, closer to the 3-point line and keep the matchups that you have. Cause I feel like they're getting a little too switch happy, which then feeds into Indiana. But I don't mind the lineup changes. And I feel like it's been a bit reactionary because of that big comeback.
Yeah, certainly. I'm just, you know, the plus minus thing's big for me. Hartenstein's the second best in this entire series at a +5. And Cason Wallace is the worst in this series at -3.7. So, you know, I would like to see them play Hartenstein more. I'm also bitter because I had his over rebounds prop in game number three and I lost it. So I'm hoping that he does get more run here in game number four because I'll probably be on Hartenstein rebounds once again. Michael, from a prop perspective, is there any player that you've been targeting or that you're going to continue to target or somebody that you're going to go away from maybe here in game number four?
So I've kind of been zigzagging with Lu Dort on the OKC Thunder playing his over in game three when it dipped from game two. He was in foul trouble in game two. So his points, rebounds, and assists was priced at 16.5, and he couldn't get there because his got reduced minutes because he was in foul trouble. It opened at game three on the road, and he hasn't been as great of a shooter on the road throughout this postseason. I view that as an incredibly small sample size and not worth reading into. And so it opened 4 points lower, 12.5. on the PRA. So Nanai played over on that PRA. He obviously had a great game. He made 4 threes. He adds in some ancillary stats and he obviously cashes on that. Now it's back up to 14.5 or 15.5. Back the other way again now that you get a good number to play the under. So it's really been telling through the market to track these. The market's been pretty sharp throughout these NBA finals in terms of where the late moves are and then where the ultimate results lie. So I've been thinking that going fading Lu Dort. And also, I mean, I hate to say this to you, Scott, because you're on the Hartenstein train. I think Hartenstein under 0.5 blocks for him not to have a block, which is like -125, -130, a few shops in the market is definitely a good prop price because I personally think his minutes are going to continue to be reduced and then his block opportunities are reduced because they're really pulling him away from the paint when they do try and isolate his matchup.
What about Shea? And we're talking to Michael Fiddle, who joins us, Action Network contributor, host of the Advantage Sharp Betting Live show here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's cashing out here on VSiN. Shea, for the first time, goes under 30 points in game number three. We can say that you never want to say it's a must win because you're not eliminated if you lose, but you don't want to go down 3-1. Right. So for all intents and purposes, it's as close to a must win as you can get here for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Do we expect a bounce back performance from Shea here and look to attack some props here for the MVP?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be back on the Shea overs. I would target just the points prop. I mean, if that dropped at all from the 33.5 that it's been priced at every game, I would be looking towards the over. He just didn't have the shot dropping. I mean, Jalen Williams started out hot. Chet Holmgren started out hot. And he wasn't hitting the mid-range. They were just going away from SGA. But if you look at his point opportunities, if you look at his assist opportunities, the points were still going to be there if he was going to be efficient. And then everyone wants to point at the last few minutes that he looked gassed out. They isolate, you know, a failed box out attempt. And again, I think it's one of those things where you're wanting to look for the story and look for a reason. It can't just be, oh, he missed a box out, or, oh, he was a late recovery. It has to be more that this is fatigue because they were guarding him and we have to make this a whole story. I don't buy that. The Thunder are the second youngest team in the NBA by average and by usage rate on their team. They're 24 years old and 7 months as their average age. So this team should absolutely bounce back. And I think the short rest should actually favor the Thunder. Despite the Pacers playing so quickly, the recovery probably allows the Pacers to maintain that speed, whereas now it might bring the Pacers down a notch, where the Thunder might actually be the faster team because they're more apt to recover in this situation. Halliburton dealing with that ankle can't be forgotten because he played well as this lingers on.
To that end, any feel towards this total, which has been bet down, we're looking at 225.5 as opposed to what we saw in game number three.
Yeah, so Scott, the day of the game on game three, it moved from 228.5 down to 226 flat. So there was the loudest sharp move in the market was towards the under on game day. It obviously would die in the fourth quarter. Through the halftime, that game was looking like it was going to hit 250. After the third quarter, that game looked like it was going to be at 240-ish. So we looked towards the fourth quarter, and it completely stalled out. I find it difficult to go back towards the under here, and so I feel like we're at a bit of a basement price. I don't think it could go much lower than 225. So if I'm looking to play any direction, I'm saying, well, the first three quarters said this to be an over spot. If you are putting yourselves in the shoes of a basketball player and you're thinking, if I am tired on 2 days rest, what goes first? It's the defense, right? Sure. Anytime you have the ball when you're a basketball player, the fatigue is out the window. It is when you're chugging back on defense, when you're getting in your stance, that lactic acid builds up and you're like, oh my God, I'm pretty tired now. So I would be targeting overs, maybe a bit worse of shooting efficiency. But if you look towards game three, the shooting efficiency wasn't there for either team. Pacers hit 9 threes. Oklahoma City hit 10 threes. So this wasn't a game where there was a ton of shot making. So I would be looking towards the over because the pace should remain there. The defense should be a little more lapse. And then the shot making likely increases as well.
Michael, good stuff. Thanks for your time and enjoy the games. Good luck with your bets.
Thank you, Scott. You as well.
There he is, Michael Fiddle. Check him out. He's a contributor to the Action Network and great stuff there on the NBA. More on game number four coming up next. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. When taking a look at this game number four of the NBA Finals, I can only look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe that this is the ultimate bounce back spot for the Thunder. The better team that lost game number three bounces back and wins game number four the majority of the time. And if you just look at in the history of the NBA playoffs, when you have a team in this situation, so it's game number four of a playoff series, and this database goes back to 2003, and you have a team that is an away favorite in game number three and loses, like the Oklahoma City Thunder did, and then they are an away favorite once again in game number four, like the Oklahoma City Thunder are. Those teams are 31-14 straight up. Winning, that's 70% of the time. And ATS, 23-19-3 against the spread. But take it one step further, because this is obviously a heavy spread here at -6. If the line is higher than 5, if these teams are favored by 5.5 or more points, again, you lose game number 3 on the road as a favorite, but you are still a favorite on the road in game number 4, and you're actually a 5.5 or higher point favorite. And the Thunder right now are a 6-point favorite. Those teams are 15-5 straight up, 12-7-1 against the spread. Now, what I find to be very interesting about this Oklahoma City Thunder team in this spot is that we know how good they are after a loss. In this entire season, they are 18-2 after a loss. In this postseason alone, they're 5-0 after a loss. They're undefeated after a loss. 3-2 against the spread, but a couple of those were some pretty heavy lines. They didn't cover as a 7-point favorite, and they didn't cover as a 3-point favorite. Well, they should have covered as a 3-point favorite. That was a 2-point win. Remember, late basket. Anyway, 5-0. What has stood out, though, and this is something that is not just isolated to the five games after a loss in these playoffs. You can go to the all 20 games throughout the season and take a look at the Thunder after a loss. They dominate early. They dominate the first halves. They win the first half by double-digit points. And this is something that we've been on throughout the entirety of this postseason when it comes to these situational spots. This is the situational spot here for the Oklahoma City Thunder to start early, build a lead, and extend that lead going into the half. The Thunder have won the first quarter in all three games of this series. They have held the Pacers under their team total in the first quarter in all three games of this series. If you look at what the Thunder have done in these playoffs after a loss, they are outscoring their opponents 29-21 in the first quarter. The play is simple. Thunder first quarter, Pacers team total under in the first quarter, because that's hit, like I said, in every game, and Thunder to win the first half. And the more I think about this game, the more in my mind it plays out like game two. A Thunder wire-to-wire win. If you look at the market, and it's incredible because think about where we are with this spread. The Oklahoma City Thunder were heavy favorites in game number one. Double-digit favorites. 9.5 to 10-point favorites game number one. They dominate the entirety of the game. They get outplayed in the fourth quarter. They lose game number one. And in game number two, the zigzag comes into play. They're off a loss. Plus, it's kind of a desperation spot with a home team, you know, losing that game number one. Great spot to back in game number two. Naturally, the market adjusts. And they become 11.5-point favorites. From 9.5 or 10 to 11.5-point favorites for the game. There was a 2-point adjustment on the full game line. But if you go back and look at the first halves, in game number one, the Thunder were 5-point favorites in the first half. That was a trend that we played with, remember, the home teams in the NBA Finals, and then the home teams on the 7 days of rest, the big favorites. It was incredible numbers that we had when we hammered the first half for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Shout out to those who tailed. They were 5-point favorites to 5.5 at the most in the first half in game number one. Now, I mentioned the full game spread in game number two, because of the situation, adjusted by 2 points from 9.5 or 10 to 11.5. So 1.5 to 2 points on the full game adjustment. The first half went from -5 in game number one to -8 in game number two. So the full game price had a 2-point adjustment. The halftime price had a 3-point adjustment. Now, why? Why is that? It's because of how strong the situation is. That's the premium that you pay, that these sports books are charging you, because of how great the spot is. And so now we look at where we are from going to game two to game three, and then game three to game four. Game two, 11.5-point favorites. They win. They dominate. In game number three, shifting venue, zigzag obviously baked in, but Thunder coming off a very impressive win at home. Market shifts to OKC, 5-point favorites, 4.5-point favorites, depending on where you were, what book you were at. Let's call it four. Yeah, let's call it five. So from 11.5 down to 5. Thunder lose that game. Now there has to be built in, you would think, an upgrade on the Indiana Pacers coming off of that win, right? I mean, they're up 2-1 in this series. They have home court advantage. They just won 116-107. Naturally, there has to be an upgrade. But yet the Thunder go from 4.5 5-point favorites to 6-point favorites. A whole point or 1.5 adjustment in favor of the Thunder. Why? Because of the situation. The situation for the Thunder outweighs any upgrade and home court advantage that you give the Indiana Pacers. And now what is the situation? It's one, the better team, the better rated team coming off of a loss as the favorite, which is what happened. The Thunder are the better team. Regardless of how this series has played out, the Thunder are still the better team. If you're going to argue with me, then just bet the Pacers every game. It's fine. Like, just the market is telling you. Because if the Pacers were the better team, they'd be favored. The Thunder are the better team coming off of the loss. The zigzag with the better team coming off the loss is a very strong trend going back years. So naturally, that's the strong situation baked into the spread. But then there's also the desperation angle. This is not an elimination game. But as some would like to joke, it's not game 7, it's game 6.5 or whatever, right? You can't go down 3-1. Even though you return home for game number 5, going down 3-1 is a death sentence. It's very rare. We've seen it. It's happened before. We've seen it in the NBA Finals, right? Warriors blew that lead. We've certainly seen it before. It's a terrible spot to be in. And so to avoid the 3-1 hole, to play with the desperation, plus the bounce back spot with the better team, the higher rated team, the stronger team coming off the loss, man, this spread feels like it should be 6.5. Thunder, to me, great time to back them here in this series, playing with the desperation. It's the only way I can look. Stronger feel on the first half plays because we've seen the Pacers' ability to come back, but that's where I stand on Thunder Pacers game number 4. I have some good prop angles, though, that I want to get to. There's one player in particular that I want to fade here in game number 4. Hey, if you want to know where the real money is going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you the insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. As we continue to take a look at game number 4 of the NBA Finals coming your way here on Friday night from Indiana. The Thunder are 6-point favorites over the Pacers. Total down to 225.5. That is below what, game 3 closed at 226, but it opened much higher and closed at a low number. So 225.5 is the total here, as we just have one day off in between games. And so we'll get back to action here on Friday night. Now, I want to fade a certain player in the prop market, and that player is Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese Haliburton's points prop for game number 4 is at 18.5. Under is minus 125. I want to bet the under on Tyrese Halliburton's points. Here's my take on Halle. He has done an incredible job in this postseason of rising to the occasion. When his team needs him the most, he comes through. The game-winning shots, the performance in the clutch minutes, undeniable. And in big-time games, Halliburton has come through. But every time in this postseason that Halliburton has played, I've used this term a bunch, and I don't know if it's fair to say, but I'm going to keep using it because I can't think of a better term. Playing with house money. Every time that's happened, Halliburton has underperformed. If you look at game number, game number three against Cleveland. Pacers win the first two games on the road. They're up 2-0. That's house money against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Halliburton scores 4 points in game number three. 4 points. Now, later on in the series, chance to close him out, scores 31 points, and he's great. But 4 points when you're playing with house money there? 11 points in the follow-up game? It just doesn't add up. Looking at the series against the... let's go back to the first round. Up 2-0 against Milwaukee. Scores 14 points in game number three. Goes under there as well. Against the Knicks. Monster game number one. And yes, in game number three, when they were up 2-0, you're thinking the house money situation, all that stuff. He did score 20 points. But I'd actually argue that the house money spot was in game number two. Because in game number one, incredible performance late, historic comeback, game-winning shot. And then in game number two, you already got the split in New York. That's what you wanted. You got the split. He scores 14 points and goes under. Later on in that series, after the Pacers take a 3-1 lead in the series, a commanding lead in the series, that's the ultimate house money spot. You go to New York, it's game number five, you're expected to lose. Ho-hum, Halliburton disappears with just 8 points in that game and goes under. I think in this game four, with the Pacers up 2-1, I think Halliburton has a lesser performance than what we saw here in game number three. His prop has now been inflated to 18.5. He scored 14 points in game number one, 17 points in game number two, 22 points in a great performance in game number three. We're not going to take that away from him. Our best bet in that game was Halliburton to go over his points in the first quarter. And he did. But this number's too high now for Halle. Plus, I do think fatigue could come into play with a one-day break. And it wouldn't surprise me if he has a lesser scoring output here in game number four. So, one of my best bets is going to be Tyrese Halliburton to go under 18.5 points. I thought it was going to be 17.5. I couldn't believe it was at 18.5. Minus 125, worth the juice. Go under Halliburton points. Now, as far as the other players are concerned from a prop market perspective, I still think that we're going to get some sort of lineup adjustment from Mark Daigneault. And I know we talked about it earlier this hour with our guest, Michael Fiddle, and he disagrees with me. Because he thinks that the shifting of the rotations is worth it, or is a good decision for Daigneault. I mean, the numbers just speak for itself. If you look at what the Thunder rotations in the regular season compared to what they are here in this NBA Finals, it's completely different. I mean, Hartenstein was third or fourth in the team in minutes played per game in the regular season. And now he's relegated to a bench role, having to get 17 minutes in a game off the bench. Even with the lack of minutes, he is still performing. And the Thunder have actually been better with him on the floor. Of all players here, in these NBA finals. If you look at the plus money, the plus minus, Isaiah Hartenstein is a second best at a plus five. Second best at plus five on the Thunder. In fact, if we look at all players in these NBA finals, that's the third best number of anybody in these NBA finals. And what plus money, plus minus means, and it's as simple as this, when Isaiah Hartenstein is on the floor, the Thunder are outscoring the Pacers by 5 points in this series. As opposed to Cason Wallace, who's kind of taken his place here in the starting rotation, Cason Wallace is a minus 3.7, the lowest on the Oklahoma City Thunder. When Wallace is on the floor, the Thunder are being outscored by 3.7 points. Alex Caruso, who for some reason is playing 30 minutes a game, he is a minus 2.3. Thunder are being outscored by 2.3 points when Caruso is on the floor. Hartenstein's got to get more minutes. It just makes no sense why Mark Daigneault would adjust. And look, he's a much smarter basketball guy than I am. I'm just looking at the numbers here and giving my opinion. To me, it doesn't make sense that you would change up your game when you are the better team to compete against the Indiana Pacers. Make the Pacers play your game. Don't acquiesce to the Pacers. Don't let Rick Carlisle Jedi mind trick you into changing your rotations so that you can go up and run with the Indiana Pacers. No. Play your big lineup. Out-muscle them. Play your defensive game. And that's how you'll have success and win. And I think if that happens, we do see the minutes increase for a guy like Hartenstein, which I think then leads to overs on the rebounds props. Right now, Hartenstein, it was dropped down to 6.5 now rebounds because of the lack of minutes. He had 9 rebounds in game number 1. He played 17 minutes, and he had 9 rebounds in game number 1. In game number 2, he still went over his rebound prop with 8 rebounds in game number 2. He played more minutes, 22 minutes. He only played 18 minutes in game number 3, and he had 3 rebounds. I think it's more likely that Hartenstein plays closer to the 22 minutes, if not more, in game number 4 than the 17 or 18 minutes that he played in games 1 and 3. Therefore, 6.5, adjusting his prop down from 7.5 to 6.5, give me the over Isaiah Hartenstein 6.5 rebounds for game number 4. So the two prop bets for me are going to be over 6.5 rebounds for Hartenstein, under 18.5 points for Tyrese Haliburton. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Coming up a little bit later, about 15 or 20 minutes or so from now, we're going to be joined by Colby Dant from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. The College World Series gets underway here on Friday. We'll head out to get Colby's take on everything going on in Omaha. VSiN live from Omaha with broadcasts of Money Moves and Follow the Money, not just on Friday, but also a special Follow the Money on Saturday as well, live from Omaha. So all College World Series talk, plus you can go to vsin.com/CWS right now and get all the information on the College World Series. So we'll get Colby's takes for the games coming up here on Friday, also just for his overall bets on who he thinks has the best chance to claim a national championship there in Omaha. Once again, I'm Scott Seidenberg. Get back into the Stanley Cup Final as well, right here on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.